For more information about Ancient Dragon Zen Gate and Taigen's teachings, please visit us at ancientdragon.org.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Stephen Hine is coming the last Monday evening of this month to talk about koans, and I'm going to be talking about Dogen's approach to koans in a seminar Saturday afternoon, the first Saturday of April. I thought I would kind of get started this morning talking about Dogen and koans, and I looked through the first volume of Dogen's extensive record when he was still in Kyoto, in the capital, maybe not quite in a storefront, but in a city. And he has many short talks in which he refers to the old teaching stories from China. So I wanted to talk about one this morning. So he says, here is a story. Jing Qing Daofu asked a monk, what is the sound outside the gate? So we sometimes, I think, can hear sounds of traffic outside the storefront. Sometimes we can hear sounds in the zendo. It's pretty quiet. Sometimes we hear sounds above the ceiling. But this question, what is the sound outside the gate? So I'll come back to all of this. So this question of sounds is important. When Jing Qing asked his student, what is the sound outside the gate? The monk said, the sound of raindrops. So it's lovely sitting in the rain. Sometimes we can hear the traffic going by as the flow of water. I don't recall sitting here in this zendo with a big rainstorm going on out there in the street. Maybe I just wasn't paying attention. Dawn has heard it. What is the sound outside the gate? The monk said, the sound of raindrops. Jing Sheng responded, living beings are upside down, deluded by self, and chasing after things. So this is our situation. Living beings, sentient beings, deluded beings, are upside down, topsy-turvy, deluded by self and chasing after things. Of course, this idea of a self that we have is our primary opportunity for delusion and confusion. And of course, our society is built on chasing after things. When not enough people are chasing after things, the economy collapses. Chasing after things is our material consumerist world. It's also kind of how we are human consciousness functions pretty much all the time. We're trying to move things around to get what we want, or move things around to get rid of what we don't want. So, the monk said that the sound outside the gate was the sound of raindrops, and Jing Sheng said, living beings are upside down, deluded by self, and chasing after things. The monk said, teacher, how about you? Jing Sheng said, I'm almost not confused by self. That's pretty wonderful. I'm almost not confused by self. So, we can imagine not being confused at all by self. And of course, we know that we are pretty regularly confused by self. But here is this great teacher saying, I'm almost not confused by self. this kind of balance point. Very poignant. The monk said, "What does it mean, almost not confused by self?" Jingxing responded, "It is most easy to be released from the self, but expressing this dropped-off body is very difficult." So, you may not feel that it's most easy to be released from the self, but, you know, when we're sitting, as most of us are all day to day, we have this chance to release. Let go. To be released from the self, from body and mind. Maybe just for a minute here or there in the course of the day, or in some ways, maybe the whole day. Letting go of our ideas of this body and mind. So Jingxing says it's most easy to be released from the self. Whether or not we agree with him, we could, on that part, we can also agree. Expressing this dropped-off body is very difficult. So when we have this feeling of letting go, of breathing into our body and breathing into our mind and thoughts and not trying to hold on and grab hold of self, still, how do we express this dropped-off body? How do we get up from our cushions and clean the temple, or get up from our cushions and go out into the world, leave the storefront? How do we express this dropped-off body? Pretty difficult. So we could hear that as what Jingxing means by almost not confused by self. Maybe sitting in Zazen, well, we can feel self come up. Thoughts and feelings, dry throat, an itch in our neck. Almost not confused by self. So it's easy to be released from self when we're sitting here, and that's a wonderful thing. And even if you're having a period where you're some situation is churning around and you're not at all released from self, and you're troubling yourself about something, still, somewhere in there, there's this possibility of at least glimpsing of this possibility of, oh, here I am, inhale, exhale. And yet, expressing this dropped-off body is very difficult. How do we express the self that has released the self? How do we express the self that's not confused by the self, or almost not confused by the self? So I just want to go back over this story a little bit and then say what Dogen says about it, and then give some background on this teacher. There's a couple of interesting contexts for this story. So again, the monk asks, what is the sound outside the gate? This also has to do with not just the temple and outside the storefront, but we think of an inside and outside. We think of a self, part of what the idea of self and the confusion by self has to do with is we think there's this self, this skin bag here and now, this situation on our cushion. And then there's all that other stuff out there. What is the sound outside the gate? And the monk said, the sound of raindrops. Well, does that mean that he's has got a self and another, the sounds out there? The rain is falling somewhere else. It's not falling on his cushion. What is the sound outside the gate? How do we see inside and outside? How do we recognize? Yes, there is a gate. There is a doorway. There's the ancient Dragon's Den gate that we are named for. Do you know the story about the Dragon Gate in China? Well, you know that? It's in a river, an old Chinese story. There's this gate deep in a river, one of these huge rivers in China, maybe the Yellow River anyway. And when a fish swims through this gate at the bottom of the river, they suddenly become a dragon. So, you know, are we inside of the gate or outside the gate? Maybe it's okay just to be a fish near the gate. How do we, part of studying the self is seeing that we do have inside and outside. We think there are things that are other, outside. We see that there are things in the world. Expressing this dropped-off body is very difficult. We've been talking some about various kinds of expression. Expression through social activism, expression through art and music, expression through our Zendo forms. Expression through seeing each situation in our life as an opportunity, a Dharma gate. So maybe that Dharma gate's not only in China and not only in that one place in the river. How do we find all things as Dharma gates? So the monk said the sound of raindrops, and that's actually pretty good. The sound of raindrops is pretty wonderful when you're sitting quietly. But Jingxing said, living beings are upside down, deluded by self, chasing after things. So the question was this sound of raindrops inside the monk, or was it something outside he was looking for some relief from his squirming body and mind on his cushion? Chasing after things. There is deep subtlety of chasing after things. Maybe in some ways all of our thoughts are chasing after things. Doesn't mean we get rid of our thoughts, but how do we release this deluded self? So again, Jingxing said, I'm almost not confused by self. And when the monk asked about this, he says, it is most easy to be released from the self, but expressing this dropped-off body, very difficult. So, there is a part of our practice that is learning about the self, learning to release the self, learning to release our grasping of body and mind, our confused self, our grasping after things out there. There's also a part of our practice. And I won't say that there's one and then the other. I think they, you know, are practically speaking intermingled, where we study how do we express this possibility of release from self? How do we express this together? So this is the basic story, and what Dogen says about this, since completely dropping the body, there is still the sound of the raindrops. Released from the self, what is the sound outside the gate? As for deluding the self or not deluding the self, which is difficult or which is easy, I completely leave to you. So this is Dogen's style of working with these stories. He asks questions about each question. He asks questions about each part. He allows us the opportunity to consider for ourselves. As for deluding the self or not deluding the self, which is difficult or which is easy, I completely leave to you. So is deluding the self easy? Well, it's how we've been conditioned as human beings. Maybe it's kind of difficult when we're constantly grabbing onto the self. Maybe it's actually easier to not delude the self. Sometimes we feel not deluding the self is very difficult. Which is it? Maybe they're both easy, maybe they're both difficult. This is a practice for us to take on if we want. How is it when we're deluding ourselves? Can we see it? Or do we see, you know, when we let go of deluding ourselves? Oh, there I was deluding myself with whatever. That was difficult. Or maybe we'll feel, oh, that was too easy. Or maybe we'll be not deluding the self for a while we're sitting, and then suddenly we start deluding the self with thoughts and feelings and grasping after things. And we might realize it and say, oh, wait a second, I just started doing this and I was sitting here before for, you know, 10 minutes or a few breaths or whatever, and not deluding the self. Wow, that was difficult. Or you might say, oh, that was easy. So Dogen is getting us to look at the texture of our experience. He continues, as for chasing after things or chasing after self, are they upside down or not upside down? Again, interesting questions. We all have experienced chasing after things. This is, the main mode of capitalist cultures, or maybe all human cultures, chasing after things. What about chasing after self? Well, you know, Dogen also says to study the self. Part of our practice is that we sit and experience this confused self. And maybe at some point we hear the sound of raindrops outside the gate. Which one is upside down, or which one is not upside down? Maybe it's pretty easy to say chasing after things is upside down. Is there a way of chasing after things that's not based on grasping or deluding the self? Is there a way of taking care of things, though, that maybe is not upside down? Maybe it's hard to call it that chasing after things still. When we're cleaning our temple space, we're engaged with things. What is that like? Is that upside down or not upside down? And then there's chasing after self. So when we sit with some idea of, oh, I want to come and sit today and kind of calm down, cool out, or I want to sit today and get some new perspective on some situation or whatever. Maybe that's chasing after self. Maybe that's not upside down. Maybe that's exactly our practice. Anyway, this teacher, Jingxing, said he was almost not confused by self. And something about that is very appealing to me. To say, I'm not confused by self, that's a little too much. If you're saying that, there's some confusion there. I'm almost not confused by self. I aspire to that. I'm almost not confused by self. I didn't know who this guy was, so I looked around, and there's a couple of other stories, and they're pretty interesting and in some ways kind of relevant to this story. One has to do with the sound of raindrops, or the sound of water at least. One of them is an image that some of you may have heard, and this is the guy who invented it. This is an image for teacher and student that has to do with a hen and a chick. Do any of you know this image? That the teacher is like the hen pecking on the shell of the, waiting for the chick getting ready to hatch, and the chick is pecking from inside. and the shell is and on the shell, and the hen is pecking from outside. I don't know that this is actually what happens with chickens, but anyway, this guy had this. This guy Jing, the same guy, Jing Qing, had this. Had this idea, this image for how teacher and student works. So once he was teaching the community, and he said, in general, foot travelers must have the simultaneous breaking in and breaking out eye, and must have the simultaneous breaking in and breaking out function. Only then can they be called patro monks. So the simultaneous breaking in and breaking out. Foot travelers refers to, you know, these monks who wandered around China checking out different teachers and trying to see themselves, trying to not be confused by themselves. Anyway, this simultaneous breaking in and breaking out function. Jingxing said, it's like when the mother hen wants to break in, the chick must break out. And when the chick wants to break out, the mother hen must break in. So again, this image of breaking through the shell of self, breaking through the shell of delusion, of grasping after things. And the little chick is peck, 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 peck. And the mother hen is peck, 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 pecking at the shell. And at some point, when the chick is ready, suddenly the shell just kind of opens up and the chick pops up. So this is this image of this same guy, Jingxing, who was almost not confused by self. He's the one who came up with this image, which I'd heard for a long time, didn't know who it was from. After this teaching, a monk came forward and asked Jingxing, when the mother hen breaks in and the chick breaks out, from the standpoint of the teacher, what does this amount to? Jingxing said, good news. The monk asked, when the chick breaks out and the mother hen breaks in, from the standpoint of the student, what does this amount to? And Jingxing said, revealing her face. From this we see that they did have the device of simultaneous breaking in and breaking out in Jingxing school. So this is a story that's in the Blue Cliff Records. So from that perspective, we can look at the story again. There's the monk, Jingxing, asking the monk, what's the sound outside the gate? The monk said, the sound of raindrops. And Jingxing pecks a little. He says, living beings are upside down, deluded by self, chasing after things. And this monk, you know, was pretty good. He said, teacher, how about you? And Jingxing said, I'm almost not confused by self. I think if my teacher said that to me, I would just kind of stop, kind of speechless, and just, you know, kind of sit with that for a while. But this monk was, you know, was ready. He said, what does it mean, almost not confused by self? And Jingxing responded, it's most easy to be released from the self, but expressing this dropped off body is very difficult. So, again, our practice involves both sides. We have to reveal our face, each of us. Whether student or teacher, as a teacher, I'm also learning again and again, how can I break through and reveal my face? And for each of us in our practice, we're pecking. Sometimes pecking out, maybe sometimes pecking in at ourselves. How do we just let go of chasing after things and being deluded by self? So this first question that Jingxing asked the monk, what is the sound outside the gate? And the monk said, the sound of raindrops. This relates to another story about Jingxing, about Jingxing's own awakening. So Jingxing, when he was a student, came to his teacher, Chuansha, who was a great teacher, student of Guishan, I think. And Chuansha is the one who said, the entire universe is one bright pearl. Anyway, another time, Jingxing, when he was a student, said to Chuansha, as a student first entering the monastery, I implore you for instruction about the path of entry. Good question, Jinchen. How do we enter? How do we find our path to enter into the Dharma Gate, the Zen Gate, the Dragon Gate? How do we see our breathing and our posture and our confusion and our grasping at things and find an entryway? So, Qingqing asked this to Xuanzha. Xuanzha said, "Do you hear the sound of water flowing downstream over the weir?" The weir is a little dam in a river, a little place to slow down the river. "Do you hear the sound of water flowing downstream over the weir?" Qingqing said, "I hear it." So they must have been sitting, the Zendo must have been near a river. There was a flow. There was a sound. Jingxing said, "I hear it." Xuanzha said, "Enter through this." And Jingxing attained some entrance. So the sound of water and sounds themselves are a traditional meditation object. Very recommended. Whatever the sounds, the flow of traffic. Just in the last week, I've been starting to hear the tick of the Doan clock that the Doans have been talking about. I didn't hear it for a long time. The sounds of our neighbors upstairs. The sounds of the heat going on or going off. "Do you hear the sound of water flowing downstream?" And Jingxing said, "I hear it." Xuanzha said, "Enter through this," and he did. Later, Wu Zufayan said about this, "As a result of gaining entrance, one can freely move in all directions. If you have not yet done so, don't carelessly leave here." So, paying attention to the sound of the stream, probably this monk had heard about the story about his teacher, Jingqing, and when Jingqing asked him, "What is the sound outside the gate?" He said, "The sound of raindrops." So maybe he had been doing this practice of listening. And again, listening to water particularly is a helpful practice, an entryway, just like the Dragon Gate is under the river. Kevin's name is to hear the stream, to hear the flow, Kanryu, to regard or observe or hear the flow. How do we find some way to enter? How do we find something to help us see? Are we deluded by self or grasping after things? What is our relationship to the sound of raindrops, the sound of the river flowing downstream, the sound of the traffic on Irving Park Road? The sound of a bass note, music somewhere. I don't think the cafe's open yet. Maybe it's from the pub down, a few doors down. Is that sound inside or outside? Is it outside the gate? Is it something to chase after? How do we regard that? How do we use that as an opportunity to almost not be confused by self? So what does it mean, almost not confused by self? I keep coming back to this, hearing the stream of the rustling of our sitting bodies in this room. Does that mean being a little bit confused by self? Tiny bit? Maybe. I think this is worth considering. Sounds of water. So we know that the self is a construction. Living beings are upside down, deluded by self, chasing after things. And I think as Westerners, you know, these days, we can see pretty well that even if we can't feel free from it, that this idea of a constructed self is not so difficult for us in a way. We can see habit patterns, family dynamics, the influence and effect, and the ways in which all the other people and beings in our life have collaborated to help this self that we sometimes hold on to very tightly, sometimes we can let go of a little bit. And yet, even if we let go of this constructed self pretty well, if we release our face, break through the shell, not hold on to the sound of traffic as being outside, and not hold on to it as being inside either. Meet this. And breathe in this. Still, our practice, the Buddha work, is how do we express dropped off body? How do we share? Each in our own way. So maybe there's no self, but it's hard not to say that there's no person. In some ways, each of us can be our own way of, and each of you in many ways uniquely expresses this dropped off self. So maybe we need to be a little confused by self. It's a little touching, it's a little tender, this total release, and yet there's the Buddha work to do, each of us in our own way. So we're going to have some time for discussion this afternoon, but if anyone has some comment or response about the sound of raindrops, or the sound of water flowing downstream, or grasping after things, or almost not confused by self, or anything else, please feel free. In some ways, this dynamic that Jingxing is talking about or expressing in these stories and that Dogen comments on is a kind of way to do the work of studying the self. That is the heart of studying the way, and that is our zazen. So all these questions, all these places to look, to give our attention to. What is the sound outside the gate? How is it that we are grasping after things or not grasping after things? How is our confusion from the self upside down or not upside down? How is our almost not being confused by the self? If we come close to that, how is that not upside down? Maybe it's upside down too, I don't know. Kathy?
The story that about Xuanzi teaching, and when a student asked, where do I enter? And he said, the shallows, or?
The sound of the river flowing over the weir, the little dam.
That's the place to enter.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that because as kids, we used to go to a park where we would play. There was a shallow rapids of Baba Dam, Baba Falls.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an easy place for children to play because you feel the rush. It wasn't too strong, but it is shallow, and you could sit or you could stand. And I was thinking of the contrast between that and being in a river where you have to swim, you have to let go and go with it.
Yeah.
So I like his nature kind of.
Yeah. But it's also, so as you say, just wading in that shallow water, and feeling the current on your legs, yeah, that's good too. He's pointing out to the sound of that. I have talked about this before, but sound itself is a very traditional meditation object, so the Bodhisattva of Compassion over Deborah's head and over my head recommends hearing the sounds. Listening to sound, that's a way of settling. And then there's the sound of chick and hen pecking at the shell. How does that fit into the sound of the river? Kanryu.
What Kathy was just saying reminded me of sort of the, I think at times, different sounds, different people can interpret different ways. So the traffic outside might be really annoying to somebody who's used to living in a very quiet environment. To somebody who's living in the city, it may actually be unnerving to be in an environment where you don't hear that. So that idea of like sort of letting the sounds kind of go along and not, when you hear noise upstairs or somebody walking or car going by or ambulance or, the ability to not immediately react as if it's a bad thing or, a good thing. It's just a thing.
Yeah, so there's entering through hearing the stream, hearing the flow of sounds. That's not grasping after things. It's possible. There is the harmony of difference and sameness talks about sounds being pleasing or harsh. And at different times we can experience them either way or neutrally. So the guy who walks around upstairs sometimes, I know some people have experienced that as kind of harsh and, distraction. Where's he going? What's he doing? Or as neutral. Oh, okay, whatever. I don't know if any. I haven't heard anybody say that they really enjoy hearing the sounds of walking upstairs. Well, actually, no, I have. For people who are used to cities and people around, maybe it's reassuring or it's just okay. It's just part of the usual sounds of pecking that there are people around doing their thing. So it's not that there's one response to the sound is right or wrong. They might all be topsy-turvy, they might all be just right. in all of our reactions, though, how do we not grasp after things? How do we almost not be confused by the self? Is that the sound outside the gate, or is it part of the sounds inside the gate? Here.
So I've been thinking of it as intimacy, you know, like I've been enjoying this space because the sound is, you know, amplified or bright. And I notice like the different sounds that different people make. And the sound that whoever or more than one being living above us is making, you know, like I just listen to it and go, oh, you know, sort of like, hi. You know, or how people are moving, you know, on the floor.
Yeah.
And how people touch cushions, like it's a way to get to know each other.
Yeah.
Like I feel like that's how we're getting to know each other here. But like I'm getting to know the sound of, you know, the river of cars or the fans. You know, there are just like really nice opportunities to say hello.
Yeah.
Say anything.
So the point is not to find some space of pristine purity where there is no sound. The sounds are part of our life. And yet, yeah, intimacy, to become intimate with the sounds and our own responses to them.
Like how different people approach the altar and light it.
Yes.
You know, I can hear like, you know, and most feel like, you know, every dog makes an effort to be really quiet. You know, but still in that silence, there's this sense of somebody actually touching the charcoal, and you know, and there's, I even remember when I first like went to Zen Center, my teacher Taya would always say, "Oh, did you hear that?" I'm like, "What?" Or, oh, they're doing this the part of service now, or this is what's happening over there. And I'd be like, I don't hear a damn thing, what's wrong with me? You know? And now, you know, I realize like I hear more, and as we get into this space, like I'm listening at the door going, oh, what's happening in the Zendo, I'm in the kitchen. You know, but there's something about that where, you know, now when I go to Greenbelt, I'm like, oh yeah, that's this owl that lives over here. That's this other animal. Or even like looking at things, like not just sounds, but sights. Like Tyree used to go, did you see that deer up there on the hill? And I'm like, huh? Looks like a bunch of grass, you know. And, but if you start to enter, I guess, I don't know what you're entering, but something, it's intimacy, it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
So the space has been kind of fun because it's new and there's all these opportunities to go, what's happening?
Yeah.
The way a broom is, you know, positioned, or, you know, all this stuff. But it's all, you know, like I noticed like different people when they bow, the bowing act has a different curvature to it. You know, it's kind of cool. So is it the head or the chick?
Yes. So our questioning is like this pecking, whether it's hen or chick, or sometimes on our own cushion, there may be both hen and chick. How do we peck at this? Not pushing too hard. Yes, Henry.
The other thing I think of when Hogan's just talking about intimacy is I mean, I think there's a component of reaction might not be the right word, but how we meet that intimacy. So, you know, if you're hearing the sounds of the street and you can say, oh, I'm not going to let that bother me and whatever, and, you know, the fire truck pulls up and the siren's going and I'm not going to let it bother me, if you're not paying attention to the fact that the room's on fire. You know, so how do you react to that? Or, you know, if somebody's moving to Zendo and they're lost or they need help, or, you know, you're just sitting there sort of blissed out and like, oh, the sound doesn't bother me, it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, so there's that intimacy in terms of just, you know, paying attention and how you react at every moment. Maybe the next sound we hear is something we need to do, or maybe it's something we don't need to get upset about. Or
that's That's right, it's not the zombie kind of thing. Yeah. I've been in Zen Dos twice when people have, once someone had a stroke, and once someone fainted and fell off of the tongue. And both times I was facing the wall. And, you know, it's sort of like, I remember the first time I got up and said, let's call 911. But it was interesting because, like, people were like, huh, what should we do? And you know, the other time when somebody fainted, I realized that there were other people nearby who was going to take care of that situation. So there's different responses, I think.
Right.
You know, but that it's not just like, oh, great, I'm listening to sound, but it's also like, oh, does that mean somebody's asking for help or something's burning in the kitchen? You know?
Is the basement flooding?
Yes,
I want to leave the water. When I was hearing that much water.
And you heard that water, though. So you were, you know, and as work leader, like, you're getting sensitive to the situation.
Good. So this is the practice of observing the stream, listening to sounds.